brought to you exclusively by Abu Garcia.
Hey, everybody. How you doing today? Hope you're having a wonderful day, evening, night, morning, afternoon, wherever you're at, wherever you're watching or listening. Appreciate you tuning in to a brand new Ike Live, and we have a good one for you today. Joining us, my good buddy Andy Morgan is going to be playing a little catch-up. We haven't seen each other for a while. Can't wait to get Andy on the line here in just a second. Real quick, let's start like we always do. Want to send a big thank you to our military, active and veterans, men and women. Thank you guys for what you do. It's a crazy, crazy world. Policemen, firemen, EMT. Thank you guys. Appreciate your service. Also, shout out to Abu Garcia. If you notice right here, if you're watching, you see the old school. And I'm going to put a date on this. When I get Andy on, I'm going to ask him. But I'm going to go early 80s. I'm going to go 83, 84 on this hat. And I'm guessing this was a gift. This is a retro vintage Abu Garcia hat. The ones that were high. I love this old vintage stuff. We'll ask Andy about it. But shout out to Abu Garcia sponsoring the podcast now. They make some amazing stuff, including that Rocket, Revo Rocket spinning reel. I've been seeing a lot of that lately with forward-facing sonar and that kind of thing. Go to abugarcia.com to get more information on that reel. Also, thank you to the Ike Foundation. If you want to get more information on how to support kids fishing, head on over to the ikefoundation.org. We also have our, I have a note here from Becky that we have our kids fishing dates for 2024 up on the website. So if you've got kids that want to go fishing, go on that schedule. And we've got the schedule not just for the Northeast, but all across the country. So go over there and check that out. All right, let's get him on the phone. Haven't spoke to him in a minute. Joining us right now on Ike Live. By the way, Ike Live 2.0, Andy Morgan. Andy, what's up?
Not much, brother. How are you?
Good. All right, first things first. Right before you came on, I mentioned I'm wearing this. I'll take my headphones off for a second. I'm wearing this glorious high foam hat. It's got the rope. If you can see the rope on there, and it's actually a patch. It's not even embroidered. It's not supplemented printing or all that stuff that they're doing now. What would you, era wise, Andy, where would you put this hat?
Oh my gosh, Mike, that was a, I'm going back like the Basil Bacon days with that one, dog. That's like mid '80s.
I have to say 80s. I think I said 83, 84 in that range, but it has to be 80s, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're going back a day or two with that one.
Man, it's crazy. And I love the retro stuff. I love the history of the sport. You know, I think we're about the same age. I think I'm maybe a hair older than you, but we're about the same age. But the history of the sport to me is so cool and important. And it's such a cool thing. So the retro stuff brings it back. I actually had a guy, a buddy of mine, stop by yesterday, and he said, would Vegas be interested in old fishing trading cards? And I was like, and my son right now is crazy about fishing. You know, I'm like, oh, dude. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, he was geeking out when he was at the Hall of Fame. I'm like, bring him. So his name is Mike Naughton, and he brought, Andy, do you remember when they did the trading card packs in the 90s? And
yeah, dude. Yes.
It's so cool. And like, I'm looking at these things and Vegas is looking, his eyes are big. He's like, who's this guy? Harold Allen. Who's that?
Oh my God.
And he's like, Penny Barrowman. Women fished back then. His eyes are real big, you know, like all these names, but I love the history of the sport, man. It's great.
I do too. I probably remember more about the old days than I do what happened last week as far as what's going on with fishing. You probably do too, actually.
I do. I savor the old days more, maybe, you know, because I don't know if it was because I was more on the come up or I was more of a fan back then. I don't know. I feel like I'm still a fan now, but for whatever reason, I agree with you 100%. I look back at those days and I'm like, God, that they were the days, you know?
I had this conversation last week with some friends of mine, and that's what everybody just reflects on. As great memories. I mean, our fishing's really good, you know, right here at home on Lake Chickamauga. We catch a lot of big fish. Just me and my buddies talking.
Yeah.
But everything rolls back into what happened 20 years ago. And I think it was as tournament fishing, the industry, folks in general, everything was growing. Everything was new, whether it was a jig color to a spinnerbait blade to some kind of new topwater. the growth back then was what was demanding. It was what we all loved.
Yeah. I don't think you're ever going to replace that error. Everybody has their own opinion, but in my opinion, there were like two great eras of bass fishing. And the one is the one we're talking about right now. You know, it's that I would call it early 80s to mid 90s. And, you know, for me, that era, when I close my eyes and think about bass fishing, it always goes to that.
Yes, I'm exactly the same. I can remember things back early in my career, even just fishing buddy tournaments with my dad and partners back here at home. I can remember the smells of the outboards. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
The sounds, the different sounds of the outboards back then. That's what really, really magnifies in my mind.
Dude, that's such a cool thing about history. Whether it's, you know, if your history is racing or whatever it is, a smell, a sight can bring you back. And you said that, and it's funny. And my memory of a smell is my grandfather had this tackle box, Andy, and it was those old, you know, you'd open it, and it was the trays would appear. Ding, 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 all these trays, and it had a brass hinge. Dude, I was a kid. I remember looking at that box and I'm like, dude, that's the holy grail of fishing. Like one day I will have that box, you know, I'll have a box like that. And I remember, dude, the smell was this wretched mix of rust
and
fish formula, plastics, and a little sprinkling of salmon egg scent in there.
No, dude, you're so spot on with that. That's one thing I can really remember is the old closet that my granddaddy had, and he had a dozen tackle boxes in there, and that was, like you said, you open them up and the trays appear. Dude, and all that went on with that, that was like, I don't know, maybe my love of fishing back then, that just, you know what I mean, made everything pop was that
smell. Yeah, yeah, it's unbelievable. Speaking of maybe a way to bring this conversation full circle, speaking of old school, the old sport, the old good old days, I think it was a week ago, big announcement made for the 2024 Hall of Fame inductees. And I'm actually on the board now. And so I found this out about maybe 3 weeks ago and I got the list and I didn't know, you know, so I get the list and I get the email and I'm looking and I'm like, Andy Morgan is on that list. And I'm like, yes, dude. First of all, congratulations. Like that's being nominated is an honor. I know, trust me. I know that's an honor in itself, but how does that feel? You gotta be a little pumped up about that.
I am a little pumped up about that, Mike. It's kind of a strange feeling. Actually, it doesn't seem like I've even fished that long.
Right.
And honestly. And you probably can reflect back on this. I mean, I've had some good years and bad years, but it still doesn't feel like maybe that I'm maybe Hall of Fame material with all the names that are in the Hall of Fame and where bass fishing started.
Yeah.
And all the guys that have done so many great things in the industry. It's really hard to put myself in that mix, honestly. I mean, I know I'm a humble guy, don't get me wrong, but it still feels a little strange that that I've been around that long in competitive fishing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's one hell of an honor. Don't get me wrong. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah.
To be part of that group. But it's a little weird.
It is weird. And you are humble. I'm calling you out on that right now. You're humble. And I, you know, for people watching and listening that don't know, just Google it. Cause I don't have the stats in front of me, but dude, you're near like $3 million in winnings. You won AOI at FLW a million times, whatever the heck it was. Like you're being humble on you should be on that list, but I totally understand what you're saying. And my best, you know, because there is a criteria on this. If you're listening and you don't know, it's, you have to be 50. And once you hit 50, if your name is brought up on the ballot by the members and the board, then you're nominated. And dude, you deserve to be on that ballot. I promise you, you do. But it does make you feel a little older than you actually are in your mind. It did for me too. You know?
Totally, totally, dude. I'm a big kid, man. I still do a lot of silly shit. that's just the way him. That's my personality. But yeah, it's so strange, man. Well, there's so many guys in the Hall of Fame and on the list that have done so many great things. I mean, Look at yourself. Look at Kevin. Look at all these guys that have just killed it over the years. And really, I don't feel like I've just killed it. I've caught a few here and there. But looking back, I'm like, God, I could have done so much better. I should have done so much better.
Yeah. Now, you deserve to be there. And here's the thing. The great thing about this Hall of Fame is, you know, you don't have to be dead and gone to be on the nomination list. So, you know, I was asked the same question by Kumar called me. And, you know, after I was nominated and said, you know, does it make you feel old? And I'm like, yes, it makes me feel old. But yeah. I'm like, I feel like I still got a lot to give to the sport. Like, don't put me on the Hall of Fame nomination ballot, then write me off. You know what I mean?
Like, well, that's what you kind of feel like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, damn, does that mean like I'm done?
Yeah.
No, I mean, hell no, I'm going to the gym here. As soon as me and you hang up, I'm going to the gym. I want to keep living it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to keep trying to do good things. I want to keep trying to grow the industry. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little tangled right now. I think it needs some help from some older guys in the situations we're in right now, in my opinion.
I think you're right. I think you're right. We're going to get in that a little bit later in this interview. I think you're right. I think there's some things that are lacking. I think there's some things that could definitely use a push in the right direction. But I did want to add this, too. Like the nominees on that list, when I look at the names, they're all very deserving and they're all good dudes. Like when I was on that list, like I could have swore like nobody likes me. Like that was always my perception. Not nobody, because you know what I mean. But that was always my perception, because you've got a good guy perception and you're a good guy. And that's followed you in your career. But I always thought, man, I'm on this nomination list. They ain't going to vote me in because like half of them love me, half of them hate me. They think I'm the biggest dick in the world. And I get that. I accept it. I'm fine with that, you know? But you're a good guy, so you deserve to be on that list for sure. 100%.
As well as you. You've done a lot for the sport, Mike, any way you want to look at it. You know that as well as I do. Your personality, things you've done. You kind of brought into a little bit of the bad boy kind of concept of Bastards. You did. That's a fact. You know the questions and how many times I've been asked, is Mike a good guy? How's Mike? Hell yeah. How's Iaconelli? Is he a pretty good dude? I'm like, yeah. Hell yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's got great TV. He's got a strong personality. And he's passionate about catching a bass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't hold anybody at fault for that.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I think people that know me know that I'm not a bad guy. I'm not the real bad guy. But I never ran from that. You know, like I can remember, you know, that was like the ESPN era, you know, and the media coverage was new and insane. And, you know, there was all this stuff going on. And I remember like it was yesterday, you know, it was like they were pinning me as that. There were all these different roles, you know, and the good guy, the funny guy, the veteran, the Southern gentleman, the this, the that, the male stripper from California. You know, there were all these different roles being taken. We know who that is. I won't even say his name. And, you know, they were putting me in this bin of the bad guy. And I was like, I take that. You know what? I'm like, you guys are giving me all this cool exposure. I'll take that. I don't care. You know,
give me something to run with is all I need. Throw me the ball.
But I'm not a bad guy. But I want to talk about too, the thing about, I think, being nominated that feels good is it's not just like your accolades that you've accomplished in the fishing world, but I think it's people taking notice of you being like just a good person and a good human. You know, one of the things I wanted to bring up is, dude, I follow your social media. I love your social media commentary, pictures, content, all that. But dude, you're a family guy. Like you're the quintessential family guy. I see a lot with the post that you make about your daughter, especially hunting. And I'm like, I do that with my kids, my daughters with fishing, my son with fishing. Now that Vegas is, dude, he's a crazy man about it. And dude, that I think enough people, you know, when you're a tournament guy, they want to assume that all you do in your life is tournament fish. Right. But dude, you're a family, you're a dad, you're a husband, you're a family guy. I mean, that to me sometimes is more important than the fishing accolades.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, and it's a, all of, you know, my social stuff, it's all real. I mean, I don't, there's nothing there manufactured any at all. That's the life we live. We live a life in the outdoors, and that I always have, thank goodness, you know, I've been very blessed to have done that. And yeah, it's just true. This is how we live. My, you know, yeah, my daughter loves to hunt and fish, mostly hunt, and my wife's the same way. And we're, you know, whatever we're doing, we're pretty serious about it. And
yeah,
we're after something. I mean, we're after it, and yeah, we go hard. And my whole family, nephews, my dad, my mom, everybody in my family is, you know, really tied to the outdoors. And that's honestly, it's all I've ever known. And so that it makes it kind of easy to be very honest about, you know, our perception on social media for sure. That's all I know.
Yeah. It's such, it seems so, like when you're passionate about it, it seems so easy. You know, you're passionate about the outdoors. I love fishing. I love the outdoors.
Yes.
But I think it's under talked about. I think there are so many parents, dads, moms, single dads out there that want to do it, but yeah, can't right, do it. You know, they're kind of trapped, or their kids just go in a different direction. And dude, it's such a rewarding, fulfilling thing to be able to pass that to your kids or other kids. And I see that in your post, and hats off to you for that. It's great. You know, yeah,
I guess the most time that me and Keely, my daughter, get to spend together is in duck season.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't really think, well, she probably goes every once in a while with her dad. I mean, no, literally when she's off from school on Christmas break, she hunts every day with me.
That's awesome.
And whether I want to get up and go that morning or not, and she wants to get up and go, I'm going.
That's awesome.
100%. That's been a big, it's been a big bond, you know, for dad and his daughter, because I mean, you know, male, female, everybody does things different and don't have, you know, you don't have the same passions and same loves, but that one we do from a daughter to a dad. So, yeah. It's
so cool. So cool. It's the best in the world, man. It's the best in the world. Speaking of hunting, I want to call you the plate on this, because this is something that I have heard from very well other respected anglers. Like, I've heard this comment before from Gerald. I've heard it from Hackney, that, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't know exactly how they said it, but they basically said, yeah, Andy fishes basically just to support his hunting habit.
That is so true, Mike.
It's true, isn't it? Yeah.
It is so freaking true, dude.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
See, I fish so hard all year long just to get to August, typically.
Yeah.
When August was there, we always had the FLW championship, and my year was done. And it was like a celebration.
Yeah. I'm woo! Like,
yeah. Let's do it. We're going to open up the floodgates, and we're going to hunt or chase something every day. And that's, honestly, that's all I've ever wanted to do. And it's kind of weird, but my whole expectation was to make a living fishing so I could take off and hunt all fall.
Yeah.
That was always right there. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be successful so I could hunt all fall. And thank goodness that's worked out.
I love it. Well, I appreciate the honesty. This is like live, and you're not allowed to lie on this show. So I appreciate the honesty. And I can relate, not to the hunting part, because by the way, I would love, I've mentioned this on other shows, I'd love to get into hunting. I've hunted before, but I just, you know, like if you don't have somebody, you know, like my family fished, so I fished, you know, so, but I would love to get into it. But as you were talking, I'm like, man, I kind of do the same thing. I fish professional tournaments to support my fishing habit when I don't have to fish tournaments. Like you were talking, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm like, I wait for September to come so I can go saltwater fish, so I can go salmon fish, so I can go chase all these other species that are new. And that's my love, you know? So
that's your passion. That's
my passion. Yeah. Passion.
That's right. Totally right.
That's awesome. I do want to jump back to fishing real quick. And this is sort of just how it happened. And this is one of the reasons, like, you know, I have this list I create and I scribble down names like, man, I got to get this guy on. And, you know, I'm like, man, I haven't had Andy on in a long time. And you were on this list. I'm like, I got to have Andy on. Last time Andy wasn't on Ike Live 2.0. He was on the old debauchery show where, you know, there's 50 of us getting drunk. I'm like, no, this is the new show. I got to get Andy on. And then just as it would happen, the last three guests I've had on the show, I'm not making this up. Like, again, there's no lying on Ike Live. I'm trying to think of the order of it. I had Randall Tharp first.
Yeah.
Then I had Zach Burge. Then I had Ish Monroe on last week. And in each show, your name came up. And I'm like, it was like just strange, you know? But your name come up twice in regards to one thing and once in regards to another. And I got to bring these up because it's like real life stuff happening. But on the Tharp and Ish show, both of them basically said, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, but the fact of, you know, their strengths came up, which is, you know, but them guys are power fishermen to the core. Yeah. And those guys love to flip. They love to frog. They're shallow water, short line. They love it. And both of them, your name came up in both those conversations and said, oh yeah, Andy's the best that ever was. Best that ever was. And, you know, one of them said, yeah, he's there with, you know, Biffle and Brower and you know, he's right there. Ish, I think, said D. Thomas. Oh yeah, Andy's the best there ever was. Dude, and it's happened before to me. That's got to feel good to hear other people saying that, to put you right there with the best in the world at that style of fishing.
It really does, man. I don't even know what to say. And Ish is always says, man, you're the greatest, you know. And of course, I always follow Ish and Randy on all their social stuff. And we talk from time to time. But yeah, that it felt very flattering for sure. Very flattering for sure. And you know, you brought up D. Thomas and Biffle and Brower. Dude, those are the guys that back in the heyday when I was coming up, dude, I studied those guys.
They were the guys.
That's what I wanted to be. That was my style. Yes. I love that style. And I love how those guys, how they were driven. And dude, the big sticks, the big lines, the big hook sets, big
Me
fish.
Too. Me
dude,
too.
Dude, I was just, yeah. I ate it up. I mean, I breathed it. I lived it. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to be.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I've seen you in action before. And the thing that I see that you do that I wish I could do it, and I think a lot of people watch you in that style, and you're so, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. You're so like fluid or rhythmic, maybe is the right word. And other guys, not knocking their talent, not knocking their talent at all, but they're very awkward. I've said this before, and it's okay. I'll actually name a name here. Give you one good example. And he's won classics. He's won tournaments. Boyd Duckett is the most awkward, least mechanical caster I've ever seen in my life. Like he looks silly casting. And again, I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a very great angler. But dude, it's just like this fluidity. How did that happen? And how can guys capture that in their fishing?
I guess just many hours of doing it. And I was a pretty decent athlete when I was a kid. I was always pretty smooth at anything. Swinging a golf club, a baseball bat. And one thing you learn about shallow water fishing, especially whether it's short casting, you're flipping, pitching, or just casting a spinner bait or a vibrating jig, whatever you are, smooth is fast. Anyway, if you can smooth it out and make good, solid, just smooth cast, don't get in a hurry. You can still cover water at a super high rate of speed very effectively.
Yeah.
So smooth is fast. Everything in my career, once I decided that I'm a shallow water guy, I'm going to focus on that. I'm not going to relent until I have no other option. Then we'll do something else.
Yeah.
I figured out it's a game of time. It's a game of numbers, and you can cover water effectively. You can cover good water at the end of the day. If you're a better caster, if you're smoother and can cover a little more ground, you're going to catch two or three extra fish that the guys that aren't so smooth are going to miss. And that's my whole career has kind of been based around it. Just those numbers of go.
Yeah.
You know, it's time, line's in at 7 o'clock, or we're blasting off at 7 o'clock, go. That's always been my deal.
Dude, it's awesome because I've never actually, and I know I've asked you this question before on the show, but I've never heard you say it like that. And it's actually genius. Like the smooth is fast analogy it's genius because it's true.
Yes. It's so simple. There's so a lot of power in simplicity. And Russ Lane put it best. We were talking a couple years back. He goes, dude, that's your whole strength is your simplicity. I don't typically have a lot of tackle out. I don't typically have two dozen rods.
Right.
I'm not. I mean, I know you do. You do a lot of different.
I'm the opposite. Yeah, I'm the opposite.
And you make that work, but you have a system, and it's like Brian Thrift. Brian is one of the best I've ever seen at two dozen rods, and
he is the best. He is the best.
Very best.
I would put Swindle in that top five, but he's the best. Yes. He's the best. Yeah.
Junk fishing 101. That's what I used to say about Gerald. The best junk fisherman in the world.
Yeah.
He's still right at the top, but I'm telling you, that thrift's really good too.
Really, really, really good. Mm. So the other one, so I had Zach on, I guess, a couple weeks ago. And Zach's kind of, I love Zach because he's an amazing angler, but he's just very, very monotone. Like every time I talk to him, it's like you get this one thing out of Zach. And so I always try to get him a little riled up somehow, you know, through a question or something, you know? I did this top five. Like I just threw some really strange, hard questions at him to try to get him out of that. Ooh, that's that regular line. And it was successful, but it was the last question that got him. So the question was basically something like, this year's a presidential election coming up. I'm not going to ask you about Trump or Biden, but if you had to vote and here's your two choices, I said Boy Duckett or Chase Anderson. So I pinned the two league presidents against each other, and he wouldn't answer it. He wouldn't, dude. He turned red. He started kind of like, you can tell he was laughing inside about it. And he's like, and then he says, can I put an independent vote in? I'm like, sure you can. I'm like, they never win. It's always like, in the real political world, they never win. There's always great independent candidates, but they never win.
I was nominated.
Yeah. And Zach nominated you. And then when he did it, and I'm like, and then I was kind of like, I stopped and I'm like, you know what? Like, he's right. I'm like, Andy would be a hell, like, especially, in that realm when I threw Boyd and Chase up there, I'm like, you're right. And the reason is, and I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, is that you are, if not the number one on my list, you're right there, the most straightforward, matter of fact, no bullshit. Like it is what it is. It's this or it's that. And I love that. Andy, I love that. For people that don't know you personally, it comes through so loud and clear on your social. I love it. I love it. I love it. And it's so refreshing to hear people like that. And I honestly, I've said this before. I think people from Jersey and the Northeast are a lot like that, except you do it in such a way where people are like, man, I like Andy. And people in the Northeast, New Jersey, New York City, they do it in such a way where they're like, I hate that guy. He's such a dick. because we're being, like we're being matter of fact too, but just like in a more mean way. But I love that. I love that.
It's also, again, it's simplicity too. And it's like people from Jersey, the Northeast, it's either right or wrong.
Right.
It's two choices, either right or it's wrong.
Right.
And they're going to express that a little different maybe than I do.
Right.
But it's life choices.
Yeah.
They're right or wrong. And that's pretty simple. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
I've not gotten them all right. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
You got to live by the decision. Live by the soul.
Yeah. I think it's a great way to live. And definitely this isn't the place to bring up names or companies, but fishing, like the real world and like other industries, dude, they're not all good people in this sport. There's not all good people. And I cannot tell you in the 30 years how many people I've dealt with in the fish industry that are opposite of that, that are, tell you one thing to your face and then do another thing. I don't like that at all. So I love that attitude. I wish there were more people like that. I think
it'd be a little more of a simple place to live in the world if everybody was matter of fact and either right or wrong, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You can get led down a wrong trail. That's for damn certain.
Yeah. Yeah. Along those lines, I want to really just kind of pick up two that I want to chat with you about. And this one is one that I've, it's crazy because how something comes into the world and then it's just all around you. Like you can't get away from it. Yes. And you know what I'm going to say. And I almost hate even talking about it anymore because Andy, I don't think I've done a podcast in the last 12 months. This is, we can go back and research this where the words or the acronyms FFS haven't come up at least once during the podcast. So I hate to even talk about it, but I feel obligated because I love your take on it, right? I love your take on forward-facing sonar because, you know, the world is almost like divided right now. They're almost going, people are almost going crazy. Like I it's this weird craziness that's happening in the world. And I love your take on it. And, yeah. And you know, I've heard you say, you know, I'm doing it the old school. I've heard you use the word old school. I heard you use the term my way, you know, my style. And it's, you know, that to me is a great take on FFS, on forward facing sonar, you know?
It is, but it's, man, it's, this is a sticky subject. It's a sticky subject in a very small industry.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest concern. And it is the biggest growth in the industry right now. So you got to really watch what you say. I mean, it's sharp on both sides, especially from mine or your perspective.
Right.
I'm not going to get out here and bash something in the industry that's really growing and doing well.
Yep.
Hell, this is where we make a living at. So it's got to do good or we don't do good.
Right.
But it's got some points to it that I think we're going to have at tournament trails right now. It's really hurting. From what I see, and I said this on social here a week or so ago, I only really get feedback from people that follow me. So my point of view may be skewed a little more than say some others, but it's not helping from what I see viewership-wise. If you're selling viewership, I don't see it helping any tournament league, and I don't care what tournament league that is.
Right.
There's something going on here that we have to figure out, and I don't know how to do that to get more viewership. I don't know what the answers are per se. I don't know if you have like archery, for example, you don't shoot a longbow in the same class that you do a compound. Right. I don't know if there's classifications that we have to go in like archery did.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to go in as the world's best longbow shooter and shoot against Levi Morgan with the best compound shooter in the world. There's different equipment.
It's apples, I mean, oranges, the two totally different things.
Totally different thing. So I don't know really where this is headed.
Yeah.
It's just, I know there's a lot. It's very disruptive right now.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can't have a conversation with a fisherman, especially a tournament fisherman, that it doesn't come up. People very hard. Come over at a red light and give you a thumbs up on the old school, baby. Yeah, way to roll. I hate all this new shit that's going on. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you about that.
Yeah.
I'm the old school guy and I appreciate you following, but I can't throw rocks at the new technology. I mean, it's great technology. And as you well know, it's very effective.
Yeah. It's very, so, very effective. Yeah.
Another thing you don't want to really get into too much. Do you really want anything being regulated at a state or federal level? Do you want agencies to put laws on this without any kind of interaction from the neighbor?
Right. Right.
You gotta be really careful with what's going on right here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of gray areas when it comes to forward facing sonar. And I think there are others that aren't so gray. And the two that you mentioned, I don't think are gray at all. I keep in really, really close contact with all my club guys, grassroots guys that I grew up fishing with here.
Yes.
And unanimously, they all hate to watch fishing right now. Unanimously. I think what you said about, you know, it being a less exciting sport right now because of that is true. And that you can't run. There's no gray there. You can't run away from that. And
no.
Yeah. And the same's to be said for, you know, we don't want to give up, you know, any rights as anglers or outdoorsmen to the state or federal agency either. So I agree with you 100%. And that's not gray. That's black and white. But there is a lot of gray too, you know, and it'll be interesting, I think, to see how it shakes out over the next year or two, you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It really is. And I don't know. And like I said, I've had many conversations. I don't even know what else to say about it.
Right.
Other than if you're a competitive fisherman right now and you're thinking about you might want to do this to supplement your living, what you got, or to actually take this as somewhat of a profession. You've got to learn this stuff. I mean, you're going to have to utilize it pretty much every day in something you're doing on the water. And honestly, I've gotten, I guess, way more used to looking down there at it, even flipping, even docking. Right. or whatever it is. I've caught, and I know you have too, but probably way more than me. You catch a lot of fish off of that you never would make a cast at.
Oh, yeah. One not on a dock post, one that might be to the left 50 feet or, yeah, yeah.
Just looking for brush.
Right.
Or whatever on a set of docks or going down a bank or a stump line. Well, you might fish a section of bank here on Chickamauga where I grew up for 20 years, and there's a stump out there in 16 feet that you've never made a cast at.
Never knew it was there.
Never knew. And you do. So, yeah. I mean, it's got a lot of good, and it's got some bad, and the bad is the viewership problem.
Yeah.
And that's, like you said, that's pretty real, especially if you're hearing it on your end, too. I mean, I know you've got a lot of influence and a lot of followers.
Yeah, it's nonstop. It's nonstop. And it'll be interesting, but I think using it as a tool, you know, even if you're anti-forward facing or if you're a shallow water angler, using it as a tool is what you have to do. Like we had Scott Martin on. Scott Martin used it to find clumps on Okeechobee that were, you know, sitting out there in 2 to 4 foot of water that he couldn't see because the water was turbid, but he knew the fish were spawning around the clumps. Like that kind of thing. That's absolutely a tool. Yeah. Yeah.
I made a video and I hadn't not even put it on social media yet, like yesterday. And the bottom line is, and this is matter of fact, if you're not using it somewhat, you're going to get your ass whooped.
Pretty much.
Period.
Yeah. Period.
You are going to get your ass whooped. You can't totally old school everything.
Right.
Some cases, yes.
Right.
But very few, actually, does that fall totally old school. You're going to have to kind of open up and use it.
It's mind blowing. I mean, the start of this year, you know, I'm a week away, but again, I'm a fan of the sport. So I watch other circuits.
Absolutely.
And I think every major event this year, you know, let's call it 8 or 9 of the top 10 guys on the last day are all forward facing sonar, and not always guys that you'd expect. Not always the 20-year-old kid that's just out of college who is amazing at it, but like older guys, veterans, you know, guys just using it to win. And it's mind blowing. You know, like, I think you're right. You're going to have to as long as it exists in this sport, you're going to have to wrap your hands around that technology.
You better believe it. You know, the disappointing factor of that is the time that me and you both spend in our careers actually getting to a point where you can compete consistently and not take those brutal ass whoopings. Like when you first started, I mean, dude, I whooped a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. But yeah. I had some strong finishes, and it would kind of even out to where I could stick around, still make some money, still stay in the sport.
Yeah.
And that process was a pretty good one. I mean, it's 7, 8, 10 years before you figure out knowing when to hold them, when to fold them type things.
Yeah.
When you had to pick up a spinning rod and a shaky head and go catch you 10 pounds.
Yep.
That takes a little bit of a learning curve. Now, the learning curve anymore with the technologies, and I'm just talking YouTube. I'm talking Google. Well, the learning curve kind of went flat. It wasn't curved anymore. It got flatter and flatter and flatter as people could learn quicker.
Right.
I mean, back in the old days, everybody was always talking. Now, everybody's, from what I see, pretty open about information about, hey, you're doing good today. Man, I caught 3 on a jig, and I caught 2 on a spinnerbait. I caught 4 scoping. There was a little minnow I caught them scoping on, and a jerkbait I caught 2. They'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You roll it back 15, 20 years, did anybody tell you the truth on the water? Zoop.
Mum's the word on everybody. Hiding lures, like literally. Like deceiving to the point where they'd have rods on the deck that they just pulled out to pull into the boat ramp.
You better believe it. You had the decoys. You always had the decoy rods. You know, you pull out a DD-22 and lay it on the deck after you caught them out of 6 inches of water in August.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody did that. But back in those days, if you asked somebody and they lied to you, you were the one in the wrong for asking.
Yeah.
You made the man lie to you.
Yeah,
you
right.
gave him no option. People didn't understand. Well, who lied to me? Did you ask him what he caught him on? Yes, that's your fault.
That's your fault.
You had to.
Yeah, you had to.
No choice.
I'd agree with all that. And here's the other thing. And this is just because it just happened like the last 2 days. So I went to a lake that Andy, literally, this is a lake called Alloway Lake over here in New Jersey. And it's a lake when I was a kid. I say a kid when I was 17, 18, 19 years old, I used to dump a John boat in this lake. And in the dead of winter, all these fish would go to the dam area in this lake, and because it had the deepest water. And I would go there, and my buddy Brian the Carpenter, we would go there with shad wraps, jerk baits, and we would fish around. We would get so cold, we would troll sometimes. And there was this beauty of fishing where you were figuring the fish out by the cast, by feel and instinct. And there was this beauty of the wait, like the anticipation of not knowing when that bite was coming. And flash forward to now, I'm about to leave. I'm taking my son to this lake to help me learn forward facing sonar. That's how bad it is. And he's 13. And now we're on the same lake 30 years later, 30 plus years later, and we're not making a cast until we see them. And you know, that's the other part of for me. And this is, again, this is just my opinion. I'm not saying forward facing sonar is bad, but I'm so glad that my come up was during a time when there was that unknown factor of fishing. And it really, I'm not saying it's any less exciting. You're getting to read the fish. You're getting to still have the fight. But, dude, it's not the same for me. It doesn't feel the same, you know?
Yeah, they answer those questions, you know, to what these fish actually did, where they actually live. It's like the game cameras nowadays that you put out for deer, too. It's a lot of the same. You've got cell cams, and you can, you know, if you've got 50 cell cameras, you can put that in a block of woods and pretty much know everything that lives in that block of woods. It eliminated the unknown.
Yeah.
To me, and it's what you're speaking of here, the unknown was what was so exciting.
Yeah.
So to me, now again, we're talking old school to old school right here, that when you take that unknown away, it crushed it a little for me.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit kind of like hunting at night for me. You know what I mean? You could go out where it was legal. You could go out in the spotlight. You could see every deer that was coming to the bean field.
Right.
You just couldn't have a weapon in the car. You couldn't obviously shoot, but you could figure that out. And scoping is really kind of the same.
It's a flashlight. It's an underwater flashlight. Yeah, it's an underwater flashlight. It's the same thing.
And it's, I don't know. I don't even know what else to say about it.
I know. I'm so sick of talking.
I wish I had the right answer
for
everybody to make this work, and we could really roll with it, and viewerships would climb, and we'd all, you know,
we'd
all see better days. But I'm afraid, and we were talking, were these old days that we came up in fishing, are they going to be the best that there was?
Yeah.
Maybe. Have we lived the top of the heap in tournament fishing as far as the money goes?
Yeah.
Obviously, that was way better back then.
Way better. Way better. Okay. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you said that, because like yesterday, the Super Bowl was on, and my wife was like, let's make a funny post. Pull out your classic ring, you know, and pulled out the classic ring and made a social post about it. And, you know, she's like, yeah, do they even give a classic ring away anymore? I'm like, nah, they stopped doing that years ago. And what's a classic worth now? That's like 200,000. What was it when you won? Oh, it was 500, say half a million. And you know, it's like you're watching this, and it hurts too, because you know, part of you, and I'm, you know, we're older guys. Part of you is like, man, I've been through it. I did that. I've done that. When I retire, good riddance, peace, you know, peace. Yes. Thank you for having me. But the other part of me, because I have a son that's 13 that loves it, and I see high school kids and college kids that love it. The other part of me is like, I feel bad almost just piecing out. And you know, I almost feel bad about just saying, well, it's your problem now, right? It's almost like I feel burdened about, even though I don't want to deal with this crap, forward-faced sonar, I have to, because you have to, or we're in trouble, you know?
I'm the same way. I wish I could just go away and not say a whole lot about it, but I've got a level of guilt that says, damn, man, you need to say, you know, at least express your opinion here.
Right.
You know, shine some light on it. Shed some daylight on something that needs talked about. I mean, yeah, I'm the same way, dude. It's almost like it's not erasing history by any means.
Yeah.
But it's definitely casting a shadow on what I've seen. And see now, and that's a fact. Those back 15 years ago were the better days of bass fishing.
Yeah.
You got to call it what it is. And that's a fact. There was more money. There was more excitement. There was more unknown.
I'd have to agree with it. I'd have to agree with that. And, you know, the good news is that our sport's still young. Sports do go through growing pains. You know, we've only been around since the 70s. So the good news is, I think we will we will figure this out and we will get through this and on to better things.
Absolutely.
I hope that happens. I really do.
There's very few things in your life, and you've done it, I've done it, that you get to compete against the folks that you idolized.
Right.
And we did get to do that.
Very rare. Very rare.
Very rare. I mean, when Ray Scott introduced and made, you know, came up with the Bass organization, and he started putting these guys out there that you were watching, and they were winning classics and Angler of the Years and winning tournaments and was spinning off TV shows. Dude, those were the guys that I idolized, that you idolized.
Yes.
To get to compete and get possibly put in the Hall of Fame with those guys. Very, very rare that happens, especially in a sport of bass fishing. And, you know, we called it I have a little bit of a hard time nowadays calling it a true profession, as far as I'm paying an entry fee.
Right.
And that's, ups and downs in that I don't know, it's kind of watering that down just a little bit for me as I get a little older.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, to be able to do this, to be able to have made a living out of it with all the negatives that have happened or are happening, still, we're very, very blessed and lucky, man. I don't know. You're not going to do this any other where in the world except in the United States. And to be a part of that error, we are both very, very lucky.
You bet, buddy. You bet 100%.
That's for sure. I do want to circle back. You know, we were talking about, you're just very matter of fact and you tell it like it is. And I love that. And it was probably the single best thing I've seen on social media. And social media, you know, the funny thing about it is it's a business tool. There are things you have to do, but I love following the guys. I follow if the guy has his tour card, I follow him because I love it. And I love just watching their life and all that stuff. But you said something that was the single best thing I've heard on social media for a very, very long time. And I'm not kidding you. And again, I don't remember the exact, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it was something to the lines of, you know, it was basically this 5-minute piece of saying that, you know what? I don't care about the politics. I don't care about the BS. I don't care about this and that. I'm going to go fish. I love fishing. I fish because I love fishing, and I'm going to put it out of my mind. I'm going to get it out of my mind. I'm just going to go fishing. That's what I like to do. And I remember that post. Actually, when you see a post, like, I think I watched it like 2 or 3 times, and I don't want to sound like a stalker or anything, but I think I watched it like 2 or 3 times because here's the main reason. I've had such a hard time in my career and in my life ignoring that stuff. Like, I've personally battled blocking it out. And I remember, Andy, I remember being depressed, sad, like mad, like all the emotions on something that's out of my control. I can't even control it, but I'm in it. You know, I'm in it. So it was affecting me, and it affected my fishing, affected my life. I'd come home from a tournament. Man, I'm gone for 3 weeks and I come home to my kids and I'm sad. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. We just said we get to fish for a living. You should be the happiest guy in the world. And I've been guilty of letting that stuff affect me personally. And when I heard that from you, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's it right there. Like, that's the way you got to look at it. Talk about that. Cause that is, to me, it's so refreshing to hear someone's opinion when there's so much talk, Andy, of Bass versus MLF, MLF versus NPFL, NPFL versus, I'm so sick of that shit. And it's so refreshing to hear it from you, just a different viewpoint on it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I made that video pretty much just out of guilt, again, is what we're talking about, because it pisses me off so bad to hear all that negativity drown out the passion of something that we all love to do.
Yes.
I love to tournament fish. I love all the guys that I compete against. There's nobody out there that I just can't stand and hate. I mean, some guys I like better than others, but hell, yeah. What's life? But man, just God, it just gets so old. So, and you're talking about leaving tournaments and be so pissed off.
Yeah.
I've left so many tournaments so freaking mad, dude, that I get home and I'm a real jackass, you know, to where you're not the guy that you should be.
You're not yourself.
You're not
even yourself.
You've got all this information, your process and everything that's going on in the industry.
Yeah.
Then to a point, as I matured and got just a little older and started to figure things out just a little bit, which I've never figured things out totally. Nobody will. You finally just get to where, you know, pick your battles, fight the battle you're going to fight, and let everything and everybody else take care of their own shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get in it. Stay away from it.
Yeah.
I was so pissed off when I left Toledo Bend the other day. It was halfway through. Actually, it was at the end of the first day, and I'd caught enough just to stay in the mix. But my whole outlook, and I knew at this point, I'm enjoying this probably more than I ever have, is if I don't catch them pretty good on day two, damn, I won't get to fish another day.
Right.
It ain't that I was beat and I'm going to lose quite a bit of money from entry fees and your travel expense, which you do nowadays. It's a
good
investment to risk, which I ain't saying that's great business, but just the not being able to fish the next day is I'm like, holy shit. This is kind of the holy grail in my mind.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking.
Because I have totally more or less got out of the politics. They're going to do what they want to do. They're going to make the decisions to hopefully increase the leagues, to make more money in whatever tournament trail you're fishing. They have to exist in order for us to have a platform and a place to compete.
Yeah.
I want everybody to do well, everybody to prosper. Don't know that that's going to happen, but you got to get out of a lot of the politics and just enjoy your career. And that's one of the toughest things in bass fishing. I bet it's the same way in golf too. I follow golf a lot like I do everybody in bass fishing. You've got to get over that hump and just try to, you got to enjoy your days, man. You only get so many anyway. Hell, I'm
life's short. Life's very short.
So once you kind of accept like, hey, let's go have a big time today. It's going to get daylight here in a little while.
Yeah.
We're going to get to go out on the lake. We're going to do what we really love to do.
Yeah.
Now, is it mind blowing and piss you off some days? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I turn that corner just a little bit. This gets better. I swear it does. Yeah. It's more enjoyable, as you well know.
Yeah, it's such a good outlook, man. I love it. I wish I could have been more like that when I was younger, and I still strive to get more of that attitude, you know. And it's still hard for me sometimes, but it's such a great attitude. And I think you're right. I think, you know, dude, every day is a bonus, man. Like, you know, we've all lost. And the older, here's the thing about getting older. A lot of our viewers, Andy, are young. We got a lot of high school, college kids watching this, and And I remember, you think you lived forever back then. You're indestructible. Ooh, bro, you could do anything. Anything you want to do, just go ahead and do it. You're good. I remember those days. But as you get older, you know, you get in your 50s, and man, it's like you start losing people more and more every year. You start losing people. And, you know, like we lost Aaron a few years ago. And, you know, you start losing people that were your friends in the fishing industry. And it does make you step back. And you're like, God, I gotta let go of this other stuff. I gotta let go of this negativity and live my life, because it's short, man. It's short, you know.
It is, and that's just a good life statement. And whatever you're doing, just figure out a way to enjoy it, man.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to enjoy every day, if at all possible, get something good out of it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's easier said than done some days, but God, you gotta do that, man. It's like I say, life is short.
Life is short, man. That's so true. I got this last. I usually throw a last wrap up question. I think I already know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I like to ask guys on, you know, what's the one event moving forward? You guys still have a bunch left. What's the one event moving forward you're looking the most forward to? I think I know the answer, because we already mentioned it earlier in the interview, is the last one, so you can go hunting. But now.
Always is the last one, no matter where it is.
All right, but if we can't count the last one, is there an event coming up for you that, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, this one, I can't wait. You know, this one will be less, in quotes, in big quotes, less forward facing sonar or something like that. Is there one that that you see there that you're like, yeah, I can't wait for that event?
You'll probably enjoy this. And this is how relaxed that I've been the last couple of years. I don't even remember the whole schedule. That's as honest as I can totally be.
Yes. That's so awesome.
But I do think this next one coming up, which is Santee.
Santee.
I thought it might have less FFS capability than any. Now, I could be totally wrong. They could brush pile them down on the Clearwater end. I don't know. Right. But I thought that one probably stuck out a little more than the rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wouldn't care if it was a five fish limit, really. I would be okay kind of competing against those guys a little more. But all you can catch, that's a pretty tough one, how you structure my days. That's pretty tough.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I agree with you. You know, I fished over there and fishing over to MLF, and be honest with you, I think for my style numbers at the time, this is pre the world forward facing sonar using utilizing that technique, I think I was good at that format because I could 1 pound them to death and I could 2 pound them to death. And you know, like I remember when they started putting you know, they started changing the rules and it went from a keeper fish to, you know, had to be a very minimal weight. Like I remember saying, oh gosh, you know, taking away my strengths. But in saying that, there is something, and I think it gets back to, you know, it gets back to the beginning of this conversation. When I was a kid, when I was cutting my teeth, when I was fishing the clubs, when I was watching TNN, there was that mystique of five big ones, you know, in your well. I mean, boat flipping them, Andy, boat flipping them.
Yes.
If you're from listening to this podcast right now and you belong to PETA, I'm sorry, but boat flipping them and letting them flop on the carpet.
You bet.
Hitting them off the gunnel. Like, yeah. There was a mystique to that. And now that I'm back at bass, and again, I've not fished well the last couple of years, self-admittedly not fished well, but I'm back into where it's me, you know, if that makes any sense.
100% it does. It goes back to the old ways, the old times that were great. I don't want to be penalized for fishing for big ones.
Right. Right.
You know, every fish counts. You kind of are a little bit. You're kind of penalized for fishing for big ones. There's less of them. You know, when there's no limit on them and you're head counting, I mean, you got to go with what's more prevalent, and that smaller fish are more prevalent than big fish.
Right.
But the big fish, man, it's just hard to turn that off after you've done that for 25 years.
Hard to turn it off.
I mean, I guess that's why I still old school fish and I hadn't changed much. Hell, I want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
They may whoop my ass, but oh well. I guess that's the way it's going to be at some point. But
yeah, well, that's a great attitude. And again, you know, I get this question a lot, especially recently, because I'm getting older. I'm in the Hall of Fame now. They expect me to retire. I get the question of, you know, when am I going to retire? I honestly don't know the right answer to that. But, you know, if I can enjoy the remainder of my time in the sport, that's what I want to do. And I know that's what you want to do too.
100%. That's well said. You'll know it's time to retire when it's time.
Right.
I wouldn't even think about it. People have asked me, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, 5 years, 10 years.
It's hard to put a number on it.
When it's time, I go, you know what? I think I'll retire.
Yeah.
And if I make the decision, that's what it's going to be. I'll be like, all right, done.
Yeah.
Going deer hunting.
Yeah.
Going wherever.
That's awesome. I agree with you 100%. Andy, this was awesome interview, dude. Honestly, I appreciate you. You know, I know you've been on Ike Live a bunch, and this is not taking any of those times away, because we had a lot of fun with you then, but I really enjoyed it. And actually, I'm looking at the clock. This is about 50 minutes, which is crazy. It lasted a lot longer than I thought, but the good ones do. And I appreciate the conversation. So nice to catch up with you. I don't get to see you as much anymore, so I appreciate you coming on.
I told you the day you said you were going to retire, I walked up to you. We were in North Carolina. I said, bro,
I remember.
This sucks.
I know.
I mean, literally, dude.
I remember that.
You're up a little bit. I'm like, no, I don't want you to retire.
Yeah.
This stuff's going on. It's still happening, man. It's just sad to see everybody getting a little older and even thinking about retirement. Now, you know, you were rolling out and you jumped in fish bass. Then you got Kevin retiring. You've got everybody going different directions. It's sad.
It's sad. It is sad. It's almost like the end of an era, but with every end, there should be a new beginning. So hopefully what we got coming is better than what we had. I doubt it, but you never know. Andy, thanks for coming on, and good luck. I'm going to be watching you guys over at Santee. I have a feeling that one will be great for you, and I wish you the best, and keep doing what you're doing on social media. I love it. I think it's great. I know a lot of people that love what you're doing, so keep going, man.
Well, you as well. I hope you really bust them this year, and I've enjoyed this, and I appreciate you having me on, and anything I can ever do for you, just holler.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that. Thanks, Andy.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
You got it. Later. There you have it, guys. Man, that was a good one. So good catching up with Andy Morgan. Honestly, you've heard it said before, but 100% one of the nicest guys on tour. And I'm not just saying that because he was just on the show. One of the nicest guys on tour. And you got to appreciate his attitude, not just toward fishing, but toward life. So I hope you got something out of that. Let me remind you guys real quick, Abu Garcia sponsoring the podcast. Head over to abugarcia.com. Check out that rocket spinning reel. Whether you like forward facing sonar or not, it's going to get that line back really quick. And that's important sometimes. Also, Ike Foundation, getting kids fishing. If you want to help support that, head on over to the ikefoundation.org. Also, if you've got kids that want to go fishing, check out the dates there. We've got kids fishing, general bank fishing. We've got tournament fishing, all sorts of stuff. So go to ikefoundation.org and check that out. Last but not least, keep the questions and comments coming, man. A lot of great feedback on this new format, Ike Live 2.0. We are still doing the old formats. We're going to be doing those shows about once a month, but we're going to end up doing a lot of these shows. So I hope you're enjoying them. Keep the feedback coming. And I hope you have a great day, week, year. Just keep following along. It's going to get really, really good. So hope you enjoyed it. Have a good one. Bye.
Do you fish for excitement? Do you fish for passion? Do you fish to get outside? Yeah! Or do you fish to win? Yeah! 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 Abu Garcia for life.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that really, that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have an experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No.
Be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature, conservation, ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way. We're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
I subscribe to Bass U TV,
and so should you.
Great place to learn about anything you want to know about bass fishing.
You get it at Bass U. We got the best of the best.
I'm not just an instructor, I'm a subscriber.
I'm John Cruz, and I am a subscriber.
You can always learn, and watching Bass U is definitely helps with that. It's something that I like to do, and it's definitely something that you need to do.
If I'm still learning, you should be too.
Subscribe to Bass U, because you'll learn how to catch a lot more fish.
Ike Live, brought to you exclusively by Abu Garcia.